Gordon Hester is a successful entrepreneur, business consultant, and teacher. As a business and financial management specialist, he has spent more than 25 years helping business owners identify opportunities and create momentum in their businesses. Building on a background in finance and accounting, Gordon travels extensively across North America, teaching and coaching others about his principles and strategies for success. His various professional licenses and certifications include being an accredited asset management specialist and an accredited wealth management specialist through the College for Financial Planning. Over the next few minutes, Gordon shares his thoughts about the wellness industry and how we can best position ourselves to capitalize on the coming wellness movement. Here is Gordon Hester.
Well, thanks for giving me an opportunity to speak with you a little bit tonight. You know, it's an interesting time in our history. You know, I can personally tell you I've been in the business world for 20 plus years and never really seen this many people looking at owning their own business. One of the things that history teaches us is that adversity and chaos are often a catalyst to opportunity, and I think that's probably what's driving the process today. Tonight, I want to talk about one particular industry, and that's the wellness industry. Why the focus on this industry? Because I think the timing to be involved with it has never been better. You know, as I studied the wellness industry, as I've studied that space, I believe this industry is truly about to explode. For those people that are positioned in the wellness industry, I think there's an opportunity to make significant fortunes. I think it's important that you understand the timing of what's going on and equally how to get positioned so that you can take advantage of this timing. So let's put our business hats on. One of the things that we do as business people is we try to look for a model, you know, something that's in the marketplace, something that has been created that allows us to understand some things. You know, for instance, one of the things that we want to understand is the timing of a product, the timing of an industry. And one of the best models that I found is something called the S-curve. It's something that was developed by a gentleman by the name of Richard Foster. And what Mr. Foster was trying to do was to be able to look at a product or an industry and answer a question. And that question was, what does the journey of that product or industry look like from the beginning to the end, from the point of innovation to the point of maturity? And basically, the model kind of goes like this, that, you know, products and industries go into three different cycles. They start off in a cycle of innovation. So in other words, there's an introduction period. During that introduction period, there's a lot of things going on. People are finding out about a product. They're finding out about an industry. You know, you're getting some visibility to it. And at some point over time, enough people find out about your product or about your industry, and it reaches an inflection point. And that point's about 10%. And what happens at 10% is this industry or this product goes through this massive growth cycle. And that's stage two of the S-curve, the growth cycle. And what that stage does is it talks about this massive acceleration of growth between a saturation point of 10 and 90%. And then ultimately at 90%, what happens is the product or the industry levels out and it goes into a stage of maturity. So ultimately, the whole idea of the S-curve is to say, look, here's what a product and industry looks like. You know, we start something, at some point it really catches on. It has this massive period of growth, and then eventually it kind of quiets down. It goes into a maturity stage. So if I step back for a second, I really want to take a look at innovation because there's a key point to this that I have to pay attention to. That key point is that you don't get in too early. You know, ultimately, a lot of things die in the early stage of innovation. It's once innovation starts working that you want to really get involved with something. And it really takes a lot of things to come together to be able to get a product to that 10% saturation level. And the key thing you got to remember about innovation and growth is that the ideal time to be in anything is right before that growth period takes off. So, of course, I don't want to be too early in the stage of innovation, but if things are working and things are growing and I can get positioned right before that growth phase takes off, this is the ideal place I want to be in the business. This is kind of when timing benefits me. And that's kind of really an important thing to understand about the S-curve. If I ride the growth wave, my chances of success grow. Once I hit maturity, which is stage three of the S-curve, I guess the best thing I would tell you is at this point, I'm too late to the game. And that's the message you need to understand, that if I'm working the maturity stage of the S-curve, I'm just not working timing to my benefit. So now that you understand the S-curve, I think probably the best way to understand its usage is to kind of look at some real-world examples. So let's start there. So let me give you an example with cars. In the early 1900s, you know, cars were something the rich had. And by 1907, we started to see cars catch on as an idea. Matter of fact, it kind of got to the 1% saturation when they introduced something called the Model T. I'm sure some of you guys remember that from history. Well, the car business really didn't hit that inflection point, that stage where innovation ends and growth starts, until 1914 when they introduced the assembly line. And at that point, from 1914 to 1928, the population that had cars went from 10% all the way up to 90%. So in a 14-year period, the cars became part of society. You know, it wasn't something that the rich had anymore. It was something that everybody had. From 1928 on, cars have been in a maturity stage. But now imagine, you ask yourself this question. If I was going to be involved in that industry and my goal was to make money and get positioned, when would I have done it? Right before 1914, right before it hit that 10% inflection point. So let's take a look at a more modern example, the mobile phone industry. You know, mobile phones isn't something that's been part of our lives forever. It was something that's come about really in the early 80s and now has reached a point where everybody in society has a mobile phone. So let's walk through that journey a little bit so that you understand what it looked like through innovation, growth, and maturity. When the mobile phone business started, it really wasn't until 1994 that we reached that inflection point where we came out of innovation and went into the growth cycle. I'm sure a lot of you guys remember that. This is back when we had those big bag phones everybody carried around. And you know, it was something that a few people had, but it wasn't something that was part of society. So in 1994, we hit this 10% inflection point. And from 1994 to 2008, the saturation for mobile phones went from 10% all the way up to 90%. And since then, we've been in that maturity stage. So again, what's the question? What's the lesson here? The lesson is, look, if I'm going to get in the mobile phone business, the time to get in was right before 1994, right before that growth stage took off, because this is where I could make the most money. This is where the game was the easiest. This is where timing benefited me. So one of the unique applications that Mr. Foster had when he developed this concept of the S-curve is that he talked about, if you're looking at a movement, something bigger than a product, something bigger than an industry, what you really have is not one S-curve, but two. And that transition between those two is a period he called discontinuity. And probably the best way to explain discontinuity is to give you a picture of what it looks like. What discontinuity looks like is chaos. Looks like confusion. It looks like turmoil. It looks like fear. It's the realization that, hey, whatever I was doing here in a movement is changing. Things aren't working, and ultimately, there has to be a better answer. When we talk about a movement, we have this going on right now, and that movement is a movement between illness and wellness. And this kind of really came into the S-curve because of a gentleman by the name of Peter Drucker. Peter Drucker is a world-famous business consultant, and he looked at the whole industry of healthcare, walked through the history, and basically said the following. You know, we're not in healthcare, we're in illness care. And it started for a reason, and it's been in place for a long time. Actually, it goes back to the early 1900s. So what Drucker said is, you know, we have this system called illness. We have this system called sick care. And at some point in time, society started realizing something, that having sick care at the forefront of the healthcare industry doesn't work. We got into this period called discontinuity. It didn't work from the perspective of results, and it didn't work as a business model. And to be honest with you, we've kind of been in this part of the process for a long time. And then ultimately, the conclusion he came to is that the only answer for the healthcare system is the wellness industry. And the funny thing is, this is where it all started anyway. It's funny how cycles repeat themselves. If I step back even before the illness system and I go back into the 1800s, what I had back then is medicine and preventative healthcare working hand in hand. And I believe at the core of Drucker's argument was, we're kind of headed back to that time. And we're headed there because there's no other choice. So when Drucker talks about the wellness movement being the only answer, you know, as business people, we got to pay attention to something. And that something is that the only way that becomes the answer is if we break out of this discontinuity period, if we break out of this period where there's a question that, you know, the forefront of the healthcare system. So if I'm looking at discontinuity, there's two words I have to pay attention to. The first word is awareness. In other words, at the core of this, is there a change? Have people woken and said, you know what? The healthcare system just doesn't work. As a business model, it doesn't work. And if we're looking at it in terms of the health of people, it certainly doesn't work. And you have to ask yourself, as you sit around looking at our healthcare system today, as you pick up every paper or turn on every news channel or pick up any magazine, is there awareness that the healthcare system is broken? And the answer is absolutely yes. And there's another important thing about awareness. Not only is it there, but it's growing. And it's growing with a message attached to it. And you know what that message is? That wellness and prevention are the answer. So awareness is just one part of the process. The next thing that has to happen, and the word that comes to mind, is change. Ultimately, awareness has to turn into action. And at some point, you got to look and say, are there solutions being put in place that indicate this discontinuity period is about to end and wellness is going to become the way? Here's how I could best answer that question. Not only is there change in integration, but there is a mountain of evidence on how quickly we're moving toward the wellness industry. The reality is I could sit here for days just sharing with you statistics and programs and systems and processes from governments all over the world to businesses to individuals. At all facets of society, we're seeing change, and that change is not about the healthcare system. It's about the prevention and wellness system. Kind of the best way I would describe it, it's like somebody woke up one day and said, you know what, guys? Maybe the solution to the healthcare system is just try not to get sick. You know, maybe instead of putting Humpty Dumpty back together, we're better off keeping him on the wall. And this is exactly what's going on right now. And this is an important statement, an important thing to recognize, that within the process of breaking discontinuity, we are really, really close to the end of that process. And what that means is the wellness movement is about to explode because there's no other choice. One other final note I want to leave you with on the S-curve, and I think it was an important part of Drucker's study. And what he said is that right now, at this point in time, we're operating in a very small window of opportunity. And what he meant by window of opportunity is if we don't move this thing in the direction of wellness and prevention, we're going to blow up the system. That around the world, the economics of sick care, the economics of illness are ultimately going to be eroding all components of society. They're going to be hurting individuals. They're going to be hurting businesses. They're going to be hurting governments. So fixing this thing by moving in the direction of wellness, this is the time. When I talk about this is the time, you know, those are kind of just words, but I want to give you an example of what I mean, because I think this one will mean a lot to any individual listening to this. When I look at the U.S. as an example, you know, one of the biggest economies in the world, one of the most successful economies in the world. And right now, if you look at the economics of healthcare, it's literally taking almost 30% of the gross income of U.S. households today. If you look at taxes and healthcare costs, what you realize is almost half the money you make goes away for those two items. And, you know, you got to ask yourself this question. We talk about imploding the system. Where do you think your income's going? The likelihood is in economic winter, it's going to get tougher. It's going to be harder to have income raised. If anything, it's probably going to go down. Equally, where do you think your healthcare costs are going? What the statistics and data supports to me, it's just not going up. It's going up at an alarming rate. We're at one of the lowest tax rates in the history of this country. You know, the taxes are going to go up, and they're going to go up a lot. And one of the things, one of the messages that I think is so important to understand at this point in time, if you're looking to survive and thrive in the future and your plan is to squeeze the dollar, is to budget your money, boy, this might be the best wake-up call you ever have. But you know what that wake-up call is? There's only one way to survive and thrive. And that way is to focus on making more money. It's to focus on income. The successful people out there already understand this concept. Not only do they understand it, they actually live it. It's the masses that don't get it. And I hope, if anything else, you take what I'm telling you here to heart and make a change in your life. And that change is that you begin to understand that your path to prosperity starts with focusing on income. If you recall at the beginning of this training, I talked about two words, timing and positioning. And hopefully at this point, you understand one thing, that the timing of the wellness industry couldn't be better. We are really at that point on the S-curve where we're getting ready to go from a stage of discontinuity to this massive stage of growth. And again, why is this important to us? The answer is actually pretty simple. The key thing is that we want to get positioned. We want to be at the right place at the right time. But there's a bigger message here. This is one that you really need to pay attention to. And that bigger message is we're talking about a movement that impacts everybody. So you see, healthcare isn't just broken in the U.S., it's broken all over the world. The governments here are not the only ones talking about preventative healthcare and wellness. This is something that is at the core of our society. It's something that affects every person on this earth. And boy, when you can get positioned at the right time, at the right place, with the right company, and at this point in a movement, it's really not that difficult to make the business side work. So hopefully I've made my point on timing. You know, there's probably never been a better time in history to be positioned at the forefront of a movement than there is with the wellness preventative healthcare industry as we sit at this place at this time in history. But the other word that we talked about at the beginning of this audio was the word positioning. So positioning is about being aligned with an opportunity. So as a business consultant, I have a lot of people come to me to get my advice on opportunity. Years ago, I developed a pretty simple system I use. Anytime I look at an opportunity or anytime I coach somebody to look at an opportunity, and I call it the 3P system. And the P's stand for proven, prepared, and positioned. Why does proven matter? Well, ultimately, it matters because success leaves clues. You want to align yourself with a company, with relationships, with business models for people that have done it before. You know, there's an old adage in business, experience is your greatest teacher. So because of that, I always pay a great deal of attention to whatever I align myself with an opportunity on where those people that are driving that opportunity have been in the past. You know, what have they done? What is the character of the leadership? Have they been able to succeed in all types of different economic and business cycles? This is an important part of the analysis process. The prepared part, which I call the present component, is at this point in time, where's the company at? Where's the opportunity at? You know, are they financially stable? Do they have their sales systems in place? Do they have their support systems in place? Do they have their key relationships in place? Because relationships are such a key part of business. Are they domestic? Are they bigger than that? Are they in an international business? You got to look at a snapshot of any opportunity and make a judgment of, are they prepared for what's coming in the future? And then ultimately, the last part of it, the future component, is the position part. You know, are you at this point in time involved with a proven company that is prepared for the future, but they're in a space, in an area of business where the future is empowering, where it's exciting, where you know it's going to grow? Sort of like what we were talking about with the wellness movement. You know, if you want to understand the position and the power of that part of the process, imagine this scenario. You know, I've got the world's greatest proven company. It's prepared. It's got everything in place. And what they're marketing is 8-track tapes. It doesn't work. So I've used this system for years, not only to analyze my own opportunities, but to help other people analyze opportunities that they were considering for their lives. One of the things I want to do tonight is to take this system and apply it to one specific company. You know, one specific business culture that I happen to have a lot of experience with. I've actually been around it for about 20 years, not as a distributor, but more of a business voice. So this company is called NSA. Been around for a long time, about 40 years, actually, based out of Memphis, Tennessee. And, you know, let's go ahead and look at this company in the context of applying these 3 P's and equally try to say, you know, what's the timing of their opportunity? What's their business culture about? You know, how are they positioned to take advantage of this wellness boom that's coming? But let's start with point number one, proven. You know, what do we know about NSA? Well, we know a couple things. One, we know these guys have been around a long time. The core management team's been in place since day one. But like any good management team, they've continued to recruit talent to make the management pool at NSA even stronger and stronger, not only in Memphis, you know, in their domestic operation, but in their international operations. The founder of that company, Jay Martin, is still running NSA today, 40 years later. They've got an extensive track record of success, and not little successes. They've had multiple billion-dollar sales successes. If somebody were to ask me the question, describe NSA, describe the leadership of NSA, what I would say is the leadership of NSA is about vision and creating results, and that's been their entire 40-year history. There's something else important under the proven component, and that's that they've done this in all kinds of cycles. And I'm not just talking about economic cycles. You know, sometimes the economic cycles aren't the things that impact the most. Of course, they've succeeded in all economic cycles. 40 years, you've kind of been through a little bit of everything. Matter of fact, as I look at the company right now, I would tell you, in my opinion, they're the strongest they've ever been in the 40-year history, and that's saying something. But more importantly, they've managed to work through business cycles. It's rare to find a company that can have multiple successful product launches. What happened when they started smoke detectors? Nobody had them, and now everybody has them. You know, after that, they get into the water and air filtration business, and they were kind of voices in that. Now, all of a sudden, this is a concept that's part of society. And, you know, this has kind of been the history of the company. And what's interesting about their business cycles is, you know, the first couple things I described to you, they were kind of appliance models to me. If I looked at it, higher end, sales oriented. And then I look at where they're at right now. And where they're at right now is they're marketing a product, and they've been marketing this product for about 16 years called Juice Plus. And Juice Plus, for kind of better sake of a word, is fruits and vegetables in a capsule. And boy, has it been a successful product for them. What's interesting when I talk about the business cycle is this is not something they had done before. They hadn't been in the consumable product business. It's important to understand that they just didn't get into the consumable product business. They thrived at it. That's why 16 years later, Juice Plus has done almost $3 billion in sales. So let's talk about the prepared component. To be honest with you, when I look at prepared, two words come to mind with regard to NSA. One is the company, and the other is the product culture. But let me talk a little bit about both of them. As for the company, one thing that NSA has that's really to their advantage today is they're debt-free. Debt's a big issue in our society, and I will tell you, it's a rarity to see big business debt-free. Matter of fact, I went back and had my investment staff research the S&P 500 companies, and what I found was less than 5% of them are debt-free. So this is a good sign because it puts a company in a position where they can invest in the future, where they're stable, where they have good working capital. You know, this is one of those things you kind of want to look for in a good company to show that they're prepared for the future. The second thing is they're international. Their business model, their product model just doesn't work in the U.S. They're actually in over 20 countries around the world and have been for a number of years. The third thing, and this is one that really stands out to me, especially right now in the economic winter, what I see in business today is contraction. I see people being laid off. I see companies tightening budgets. This has become the way. What do I see with NSA? The exact opposite. They're actually investing in the future. They're investing in more studies. They're investing in more markets. They're investing in more of all the components that drive their business. And this is an important thing to pay attention to today if you're looking at any company with regard to this prepared component. So let's also talk a little bit about their product culture. Probably the best place to start is where it started. Juice Plus started actually as a business plan. The plan was called Juice on the Run. And what NSA did, and this is, you know, a remarkable story, is they took that business plan and turned it into a product. And they launched this product back in 1993. And what's happened since 1993, in my opinion, they've built one of the greatest product cultures in the marketplace today. Let me give you an idea kind of what that looks like and what the components are. It starts with relationships. One of my core beliefs in business is that long-term success requires long-term relationships. And what you look at when you look at NSA today is all the key relationships in place. Those key relationships are things like field leadership. They're things like their manufacturing arm. You know, they're things like their master distributors, which are their international managers that are also owners. They're things like their staff. They're things like their vendors. And most importantly, it's things like their management team. This team has been together since the beginning. And any of the new management that has come in has just added value to the team. So from the relationship standpoint, these guys are where you want to see a company. They've got stable, long-term relationships in place. The other thing is there's another lesson in business, and that's that business is really a collection of systems. And one of the things you want to look for under the prepared component for any business is that they have their sales and support systems in place. And what I can tell you from my analysis of the company is they have a number of different successful sales programs in place. In other words, their field leadership created answers, and those answers became systems for everybody that marketed Juice Plus. Second of all, you know, it's one thing to have sales systems. It's another to have support systems. Any good company understands that a relationship has a greater value than a sale. And great companies put support systems ahead of sales systems. You know, that's what makes them great. That's how they earn relationships. And NSA has some of the greatest support systems I've ever seen. The final thing is that, you know, when I look at their culture, one thing really sticks out to me about Juice Plus, and that's their studies. If you kind of look at nutritional companies in general, what you find is there's a lot of borrowed research. And what I mean by borrowed research is that companies kind of look at a product and say, you know what, our product has vitamin E in it, and vitamin E has been shown to do the following things. Therefore, our product does those things. And that's the whole concept of borrowed research. Why do people do that? Because it's an inexpensive way to give merit or credibility to their product. What NSA realized was that if they really want to give merit and credibility to their product, they were going to do primary research. They were going to go to universities like Vanderbilt, like MD Anderson, like the University of Florida, like the University of Maryland. They were going to go to these universities and say, you know what? We want you to prove that our product works. We want you to use the best research methods out there to show that Juice Plus at its core works. And by the way, we just don't want you to do this on lab animals because that's how a lot of studies are done. They did these on actual human beings. And I believe right now there's about 15 published studies to support the value of Juice Plus in the marketplace. There's one other important thing about studies. We're kind of in an interesting regulatory environment. And more as regulation picks up, they're going to require companies to have merit and support behind their product. In other words, they're going to have to prove that things work. To me, what these studies do is they create an entrance barrier. They create a problem for competition. And the reason is because it takes years and millions of dollars to build a product culture and to have the research to support any product. And keep in mind, that's assuming that they could even have a product that competed to Juice Plus. To be honest with you, I even have my doubts whether anybody could create such a product. At the end of the day, when you look at the prepared component of NSA, what you see is a company that's ready for the future and a product that's proven and hasn't even scratched the surface of what it can be. So let's step past prepared and go to the next component, positioned. NSA is really about two things, two answers. One is health and the other is income. Their answer to health is Juice Plus. But what we need to spend a little time on the position part is to also understand their income model. Ultimately, their income model is called the virtual franchise. And probably the best way I'd describe it is that they took the best of a number of different business models in corporate America and blended it into a new concept, the virtual franchise. And it's been a very successful business model for them. Some tenets of it that I think are important to understand if you're looking at this as an opportunity are kind of the following. First of all, we're kind of in an economic winter. I recently wrote an article for the Direct Selling News talking about an economic winter and the perfect business model. In today's world, the perfect business model has certain components you have to pay attention to. You need something to be low investment. You need something to have minimal ongoing cost. You need something to have a quick learning curve. You need to have the ability to make profits in a couple weeks versus a couple years. These are things you have to pay attention to in any business model you're looking at. And this is kind of what NSA and the virtual franchise model is. At its core, it's a plan B model. And what I mean by that is if you're one of those people that's out looking for faster income, full-time income, and you need to make this in a business model, I don't think NSA is the right business culture for you. NSA is about a part-time business model that you can work for 3 to 5 years and kind of build into a full-time income. One of the things that I love about the virtual franchise model is it's relationship-based. And this is kind of one of the lessons from business. You know, what allows people to make a lot of money in business? The answer to that is to learn how to get paid on relationships. And at the core of their model, you're getting paid on relationships with customers and also with other distributors who are interested in marketing the product. In other words, you get paid for building a team. This is a great business model because it allows you to grow beyond a business model that's trading dollars for hours. There's one other important part of their income model, this virtual franchise model, that to me really stands out as different than a lot of companies. In their income model, Juice Plus has always been the superstar. Matter of fact, if you were to go listen to an NSA meeting, I would bet that you probably wouldn't even recognize there was an opportunity attached to it. You know, they've spent 16 years with great messengers talking about Juice Plus and focusing their entire business model on getting people on the product. And what they found is the product is the superstar. You know, it's the path to stability. That path to stability is really about a path to end consumers. End consumers are people that take the product that are not involved with the business. In other words, they see merit in the value of the product, so they take it every day. Almost 90% of the sales of NSA are these end consumers. So at the end of the day, their income model, this virtual franchise model, is a great model for the future. That's why it's part of this positioning component that we're looking at. But let me kind of bring this all to a summary. Let me bring this all to a head. And let me tell you kind of where I see things relative to Juice Plus, to NSA and the healthcare system as it relates to the S-curve. If you remember, when we started this training, there were two words that we talked about with regard to any business opportunity. One was timing and the other was positioning. What do we know about timing? Well, we know for a fact that the healthcare industry is breaking out of discontinuity and the wellness movement is the future. And we know the timing to be involved in the wellness industry has never been better. But we haven't looked at the Juice Plus NSA model and say, where is it at on the S-curve? And what I can tell you is if you look at the S-curve, and if you remember, we're talking about three stages, innovation, growth, and maturity. I believe that NSA is just at the end part of innovation and getting ready to break into that significant growth stage. There are a couple things that are driving this process that I want to point out. The first is that NSA is really working on the enhancement of their opportunity culture. As I mentioned earlier, NSA's 16-year journey has been about building one of the most magnificent product culture stories ever. The opportunity culture is something that's really catching fire right now. You know, it's a part of their business model. It's a part of their culture that's developing. And the reason it is because the need for income is so big today. There's so many people out there looking for answers, and this is a great business model for a number of those people. So as this opportunity culture grows, as it becomes congruent and as powerful as their product culture, what this is going to do is it's going to drive the process. It's going to move the process from innovation to growth. And once it hits growth, it's going to help push that into a quicker timeline. In other words, the results are going to happen faster. The other thing to understand with regard to Juice Plus and the growth stage is Juice Plus is foundational. Let me explain that word. Foundational to me means it's at the core of things. It's not like the pet rock. It's not like a hula hoop. It's not a fad. I look at Juice Plus the same way I look at exercise, diet, and sleep. In other words, this is something that you take every day for the rest of your life. And I believe if you look at what Juice Plus is, fruits and vegetables in a capsule, fruits and vegetables have been at the core of nutrition since the inception of time, and I can't imagine that fruits and vegetables are ever going to go out of style. This is what I mean by foundational, that this is something that becomes a part of society. It's something that everybody can use and very few people have. As they create more visibility in the future, as more people become involved, as the story of Juice Plus gets out, all it's going to do is drive this growth phase of the S-curve. The bottom line to me is when I look at NSA and Juice Plus, what I would tell you, in my opinion, is the best is yet to come. I think they're positioned with a product that's foundational. I think they're positioned at the right time in the wellness movement. And I think at the end of the day, although Juice Plus and NSA have had a storied history, I think the best part of their story is actually ahead of them. So in closing, I'll leave you with this message. I think that our destinies in life are a function of our choices. And all I hope to do with this training tonight is to give you some information, to give you a perspective about what's going on, and hope that in some way it helps you make a good choice. I wish you guys the best and look forward to seeing you at the top.
Please talk with the person who shared this recording with you and get more information to help you decide if the wellness industry, NSA, and Juice Plus are the right fit for you.